Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're looking at Paul's resume, is what I've called it, as we go through the text here. And let's start reading verse 22. 2 Corinthians 11, 22. He says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands." Boy, Paul goes through, what a list he goes through of his resume, the things that he went through. And don't feel sorry for him, because if you noticed, when I got down to most of the end of that list, it looks like a terrible life. He said in verse number 30, "If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmity." He's not mully grubbing this. He's not down in the mouth about this. He's not depressed about what happened in his life. He is glorying about what happened in his life. He counts it a privilege that he was able to live this kind of life for Jesus Christ and go all through all these things for the Lord. As I read through this list, I thought, wow. Boy, I tell you what, my life's pretty good. As I read through this list, I thought, Lord, I tell you what, you certainly have spoiled me. You certainly have delivered me from so much. You've not let me go through any of this kind of business here. And yet the Apostle Paul is writing all this as his resume to the church in Corinth, because these charlatans and these fakers that were getting the attention of the church in Corinth and were deceiving them, and they were impressed with so nothingness. And he's writing this resume about a real Christian life, and he's glorying in what God has done in his life and what God not only went through with him, but what God brought him through on the other side of that. And he writes all that for them, so that they would understand that his life is real. His life's not fake. I tell you what, you can tell a fake when you turn up the heat real quick. If it's fake, it'll quit. That's what Jesus said, the parable of the sower. He said, you know, these endure for a time, but when tribulation and persecution comes, he said, you know, they're not going to endure because they don't have any root. We can tell how serious we are about the Lord when things get hard in our life, if we'll stick to it, if we'll still love the Lord. And as hard as your life gets, or the hard as my life gets, and I don't even, God's just, it's like, I've said this before, it's like we're the last child, you know, and that child gets spoiled. Where we're the end of the tail on the church, man. And I believe Jesus is coming in. And the Lord's just, he's just been so good to us. And when you look at his goodness, it ought to just make us want to just praise him and thank him. But this is amazing. Paul gives this list of all these bad things that have happened to him, and he's praising God and thanking God. And we've got the best life in the world, and sometimes we have a hard time doing that. We have a hard time praising him and thanking him and shouting and praising the Lord. Well, let's look at his resume. He's going to tell you, he's not lying about it. Now, you're either totally proud, or you're writing on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help somebody when you're writing these things about yourself. This is bragging. And we've already talked about how foolish an exercise that is. But he's doing that for their benefit. And he says in verse 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. He's not embellishing things. You know, went out and caught a fish. My fish, you know. I killed a deer. How big was it? Well, it's deer. We have a tendency to embellish our successes and make them more than they are. He is lying not, and the Spirit of God is allowing him to write this and be honest about it. Now, I won't give you five things. We'll go home. The superiority of the Apostle Paul. And why they should listen to him instead of listening to a fake. And really, to be honest, it's not just written for the sake of the Corinthian church. It's why we ought to listen to him right now. When we open the Bible and we look and see what God wrote through this apostle, we ought to stop and take a listen, because this is real stuff. This isn't a fictional book. This is reality. This is the real Christian life. And men ought to be interested in it. How many people are more interested in something they'd see on Etsy or Pinterest or whatever? I don't even know what all the sites are, but they'd be more interested in that than what they'd find in the book of 2 Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul said, well, don't spend time on that fake stuff. Look here. I got something to say. There's a superiority of what I've got to say. Why? What's his resume? Verse 22. The first one's going to shock you. If I was in Canada, they'd probably arrest me. 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. The first thing that Paul says is superiority, and why you ought to listen to him, is the superiority of his race. He says, I'm a Hebrew. He says, I'm an Israelite. He says, I am of the seed of Abraham. As a matter of fact, he said this so many times in the things that he wrote. Look at Romans chapter 11. Get Romans chapter 11. And then with the other hand, just stay in Romans 11. I'm going to read something else out of Romans. He said, preacher, is there a superior race? Yeah, but it's not what they're talking about. A superior race? Boy, that sounds racist. Yeah, it is. And it isn't the white race. And it isn't the black race. Matter of fact, it's such a small little people that it would be obscure to anyone, and the whole world would hate them for it. But they're superior. How's that for the interjection into the racial conversation? He said in Romans chapter 11, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now, this is in the New Testament. You know, God's not finished with this superior race. God's not cast them away. Not forever. The Bible, and the whole book of Romans chapter 11 is about it. Drop down to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Don't be conceited, he says. You know, he's telling the Roman Christians, don't be conceited and don't be ignorant. There's not much to your pedigree. Don't think that you got very much going for you, because you don't. There's only one race that had anything going for them. Amen. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Look at it. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. There is a day that God's going to pick up back with that race of people. They're His people, and He's going to save every one of them. How are they a superior race, preacher? Romans chapter 3. Is it the color of their skin? No. Oh, it goes much deeper than that. Has nothing, you know, there's a lot of people that have the same color skin as the Jew. I mean, you know, Ishmael and Isaac were brothers. But only one of them was superior. You said, preacher, that sounds contrary. I know you've been listening to the radio too long. There is a superior group of people. Who is it? In Romans chapter 3, look at it, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? He just got through saying the Jew's guilty, all of us are guilty. And so then he says, well, then what advantage is it to be a Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Look what he says in verse 2, much every way. He said, well, it's just about better in every way. Why? Why are they such a privileged people? Look at verse 2. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. They were a superior race of people because God gave them His word, and God spoke with them face to face, and God gave them prophets, and God made an agreement with them and got into a covenant with them, and He made them His people, and they made Him their God, and God talked with them back and forth, and they were His people that said to the world who the true and living God was. They're superior in every way. That's why when you hit the New Testament, that those Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, and they were even half of a Jew. But when it came to the Gentile, when it came to our race, go sit over there. You talk about the back of the bus? Gentiles, all of us, back of the bus. In Israel, that dear Jewish lady wouldn't even shake my hand. She wouldn't touch me. She would not touch me because I'm unclean. I'm a Gentile, according to her. And Paul says, you know what, you ought to listen to me? Because I am a Hebrew. I am of the... Look, guys, Jesus Christ was a Jew. His mother was full-blood Jew. All those prophets, those writers of the Scripture, we got to understand the priv. Look, God, we are on the outside looking in, because there's a privileged race of people. So that just doesn't sound fair. Well, let's go to Galatians then. God did something about that. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just make exception to all the races. And I'll just say every one of you are guilty. And I'll have mercy upon every one of you. And I'll even go farther than making a superior race. Oh, I love this. I'll even make... There's something even better than a superior race, brother. I said there is something much better than being a superior race. In Galatians, look at it, chapter 3, he said in verse number 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. He said, all that Jewish stuff doesn't matter, a new creature matters, because now I'm not a part of a superior race, I'm part of the family of God. I'm related to God. I'm not even, that takes me out of the relation to man, and now I'm related to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a terrible thing to have a superior race. No, what a wonderful thing that God would take defiled, wicked sinners and he would let them be related to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. How about that for a pedigree? That I am a son of God. I'm a child of God. Jesus said, I have a new nature. I'm born again. You know what he says? I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white. You're all going to hell. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white. You all need to be born again. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white. You can trade out of that and get into God. Amen. Boy, what a great day when I got out of being white and I got into God. What a great day when I got out of being a Gentile and I got into God.
Amen.
And I lost my identity as an American. And now I'm a part of a holy nation, a peculiar people. You see how our world's just so messed up? White supremacy. Black lives matter. No, ain't nobody matter. Jesus matters. And if you don't get into him, you're going to go to hell. Doesn't matter what color you are. And then you got the other thing on that verse. He said male or female. Isn't it great that God doesn't even say, I don't care if you're a man or a woman. If you'll step over here, I'll put you in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Well, that's good news to a lot of Muslim women. Why in the name of heaven don't the feminists go to Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and Saudi Arabia? I have a problem with that. It's called hypocrisy. Women have more freedom here than they have anywhere in the world. Go over there. You know what Jesus says to those women? It doesn't matter if you're in bondage. You can step out of whatever your problem is and you can step right into me. And now you have a different pedigree. The superiority of Paul's race. He says, you need to listen to me. God's given me the word of God to give to you. You think about those Jews, you said, man, that's not fair. They're such a superior race, and you're talking about that. That's an awful thing to say. You know what, though? Guys, we've got to look at it this way. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is what? If God's given you a whole lot more than he's given something else, somebody else, you're going to answer for it. You know what happened to the Jewish people since they were the superior race? They rejected Jesus Christ and they said, his blood be on us and our children. You know what happened to them? Rome killed them. You know what happened to them? In the Crusades, they slaughtered them. You know what happened to them? In World War II, I probably shouldn't have done it. I watched one of these black and white documentaries of World War II, and they were showing some of the atrocities, and they were showing live footage and pictures of some of that stuff in the Holocaust, and I couldn't believe my eyes, some of it. I mean, I'd seen some of that before, but this was so graphic. I thought, how could mankind treat anybody like this? Guys, I'm talking about babies. I'm talking about naked people lined up, walking into a gas chamber, and here's a mother with her baby, naked with her, walking into the chamber to die. How could people do that? And what I'm telling you right now, there's something worse than that that's coming for the Jew. There's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. That tribulation period is not just a hard time for the world. It's especially going to be centered on the judgment of Israel. And it's going to be so bad that there's going to be such a few left alive. You read that all Israel shall be saved. Well, it ain't hard to save just a very small remnant when all the rest of them are dead. superior race. Yeah, you want to answer for all that? Guys, listen. You know, God's poured out His blessing on us that He has on so many people. And the face of this earth, we are so blessed. We have the Word of God. We have every privilege of God. We have every freedom of God. But I'm telling you, to whom much is given, much is required. There's not a complaining American in the streets of any major city of our nation that would be willing to go to Pyongyang and live in North Korea. Because we got it good. Well, we got it so good. But there's coming an accountability with that. Just like the superiorness of the Jew. But they had to pay when they didn't take advantage of their privilege. Yeah. Then I see something else that's superior in his resume. Would you look in verse number 23? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you can go tell them I said that. Amen. Superior race. We'll put that on the radio. I don't think that's going to fly very well, Brother Kyle. But I tell you what, the whole world is going to be ruled by one man, Jesus Christ. And that Jew's going to be the center of the whole world. And ain't nobody going to say a word about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, verse 23. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Now he's saying that I speak as a fool because he's bragging. Look at it. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. He said, I'm a better minister than they are. Who would say that? Well, you know what the truth is? He was. He was a better preacher than they were. He was a better helper for the sake of the gospel and the things of God in their life than those fakers were. Are they the minister of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more in labors more abundant. So in those two phrases, he shows the superiority of his labor. He shows that he has labored more abundantly. He has worked harder physically. He has worked harder spiritually to help them in their life than anybody. Anybody can walk into Corinth and preach a message, but Paul has given his life to labor with them. He even said down there in verse number 26, in journeyings often, the physical amount of travel that he put on his body. And you're not talking about getting in a car, a plane, or a train. He's walking many places that he's going. Journeyings often, the labor, the amount of labor that he's put into trying to minister to them showed the superiority of what he's trying to do for them. Not just the physical labor that was superior in labor. More labor's more abundant. But look at the spiritual labor. Look at verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Look at that. Daily, daily. He's working daily. His every day is filled up with trying to care for churches. Guys, I talk to pastors around the country that really have a burden trying to care for their congregation. Now, if you've just got, you know, 10 or 20 people, that's one thing. But, you know, if you've got a congregation like ours or even bigger, I mean, there are some pastors that it's hard to bear all of that burden. How about pastoring 20 churches at the same time? How about caring for the Galatians and the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Colossians and the Corinthians and the Thessalonians? How about caring for all those people at the same time? And he didn't even have a cell phone to be able to talk to them. Can you imagine the daily grind of the Apostle Paul? He is not just a full-time missionary. He is not just a full-time pastor. He's caring. Look at the Bible. Look at verse 28. It's hard to even believe. The care of all the churches. Well, you got to take your hat off to that one right there. He'd be a better man than I. I've heard of back in the, was it back in the 40s or the probably the 50s, where J. Frank Norris, he pastored two churches, one in Dallas and one in, where was it, Ohio? Or
Detroit.
Can you imagine, Pastor? I'm talking about thousands of people. You're doing a whole lot there, Dr. Norris. Paul says, I got to take care of all of them. Think that was a job? Hey, if you can come home, amen, and lay your work down and sit in your easy chair, you ought to just thank the Lord. That you don't have more care put on you. He said then in verse number 23, he gets into the superiority of his persecutions. Verse 23, he says in the middle of the verse, in stripes above measure. Stripes above measure. What is that? Verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. He was beaten five times by the Jews with 39 stripes each time. If you'll multiply that, that's 195 stripes on you. You say, well, how'd that go? Look at Deuteronomy. You know, guys, the Bible talks about there's so much about the life of Jesus that we don't know. And John said if the books could be written, you know, the world itself couldn't contain them. You know, there's a lot of things about the life of the Apostle Paul that we don't read about too. And he's giving you a little glimpse of some of this. Deuteronomy chapter 25, this is what he's referencing about in stripes above measure. In other words, they're giving him more stripes than he deserves or even maybe is legally allowed. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 2, now this is what they did. Watch this now. Deuteronomy 25, 2. You talk about an uprising against people, against authority. Look at verse 2. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down. You reading your Bible? And to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. Look at verse 3. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed. Lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem violent unto thee. God said, I don't want you to beat him more than 40 stripes. And so the self-righteous, hypocritical Jew gets Paul to lay down and he puts 39 stripes showing how merciful he is to him. Should I even say that? What would happen downtown Huntsville if they caught a man stealing and they put him out in the middle of the square and made him lie down and they whipped him 40 times with a scourge? Think there'd be a riot? I didn't talk about race. I'm talking about 40 stripes. Guys, can you imagine laying on the ground on your face and somebody taking a scourge? And Jesus told all the apostles, he said, they will take you into the synagogues and scourge you. And how would you like to go to church and you had to lay down on the floor while somebody beat the daylights out of you? Paul, you're wicked. Lay down. That's one. 39 more to go, Paul. Guys, that didn't happen one time in his life. It didn't happen two times in his life. It didn't happen three times in his life. It didn't happen four times. It happened five times. What do you think about it, Paul? What are you going to testify? Well, praise the Lord. I'll put that one on my resume. What if we get to heaven and somebody says, all right, let's all turn in our resumes what we've done for Jesus. And the modern Christian says, well, I went to church about half of the year. Would you even lay down and let somebody hit you once for Jesus?
let alone 39 times? And then if you did that, would you get back up and love the Lord just as much? You say, how could he do that? He had something real. What he had wasn't fake. Five times received I stripes from the Jews. Save one. Can you imagine what his body looked like, guys? I bet his back was like hamburger. I bet he was cut up and bruised from head to toe.
Oh, Paul, I'm so sorry. No, don't feel sorry for me. That's like Jesus, you know, they scourged him too, right? And he's carrying that cross up the hill and they're all crying. They're going, we're so sorry, Jesus, as he's going up the hill to Mount Calvary. And they're crying and weeping and weeping. And Jesus turned around and looked at him and said, don't you cry for me. Cry for yourself. Because what's coming down in your life is a whole lot harder than what I'm bearing for you. I'm telling you what, this is superior. This guy deserves to be listened to take these stripes for the Lord. He said in verse number 23, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. That means he just wasn't in one prison. Now we read about one over there in Philippi, right? But he was in a lot more prisons than that. He said, in prisons more frequent. Guys, I do not want to go to prison. I've preached in prisons. Paul had a record. Paul was arrested on multiple occasions and thrown into jail for Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes he got out of being arrested, and I think that's good too. Look at verse 32. In Damascus, the governor, you know, when the governor's trying to arrest you, that you know, you're causing a problem. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend. He's got a whole group of soldiers trying to arrest a preacher. Must feel threatened. I tell you what, he not feel threatened by a fake preacher. He feels threatened by a preacher that has the power of God in his life. And when he preaches, people are getting saved and lives are getting changed and the work of God's getting done and sin's being defeated and the devil's being put aside and changing the society. We got to go arrest that guy. They're not going to the idol worshiping temples as much as they used to. They're not buying the pornography as much as they used to. People are not going to the dance hall and the bars as much as they used to. I mean, our craft is in danger. Remember that? He starts casting devils out of people and they start losing money. Arrest that guy. Let's throw him in prison. Verse 33. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. What a great story. Paul said, they threw me in jail a lot, but they didn't get me all the time. Sometimes God got me out of prison. Sometimes God got me out of being arrested, but he didn't get me out all the time. Oh, church, sometimes I'm worried about how real our Christianity is. When I see these people getting arrested and taken to jail, I mean, you can't keep Christians in church just for getting upset at each other, let alone going to jail for going to church. Right? Now, I've had them take me to jail before, but it wasn't a big deal. And I didn't spend a night in prison. And they really, well, I guess they sort of arrested me, but they kept it off the books because it looked bad for the American embassy. No big deal. I got to stay on the right side of the bars. But I tell you what, you get over there on the other side of the bars. But you know what I learned through all that? God was with me. You know, you can take the beating if God's down there with you. You can take being in jail if God's with you. If you're in prison and God's shining down in there, I don't think that Paul's singing the blues, amen, with Silas down there in that jailhouse. Amen, they're singing Amazing Grace and they're praising and worshiping God. They've got more joy and happiness than a lot of Americans have in their house, and they got everything heart can wish. Amen.
And Paul's in prison and he's just having a ball. And nobody's playing the piano. And nobody's playing the organ. And nobody's leading the singing. And there's no air conditioning and no heat, no padded pews, amen. And everything's not just perfectly lit. He's down in there with roaches, amen, and rats and all kind of stuff crawling all over his body. And it stinks and smells and he's hurting. And he reaches over there and says, Silas, why don't you sing us one? You know why? He's a real Christian. Boy, don't you want to be that? He says, I was in prisons more frequent. Verse 23 in the verse. In deaths oft. Now guys, we take the Bible literally, right? I think Paul died. Matter of fact, in the next chapter, I think he's going to tell you a little story about what happened to him when he died. You know, this morning that freaked some people out, Brother Mullins talking about looking at his body. Well, it freaked me out. You know, who knows what happens when you die? I've never done it. But I know this. When you die, you leave your body. Your body's just part of you. There's another part in there. In Revelation, he said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. There, your soul's got a shape. Your soul's got a figure. Your soul has eyes. I mean, think about that rich man in hell. The Bible, listen, he lifted up his, he don't have a body, but he's got eyes. Paul said, I died. I died several times. What a great story. They stoned him to death. He gets up and he goes right back in the city and starts preaching again. Won't y'all try that again? Can you imagine killing somebody and get back up and go right back to preaching? I'd say that discourage you from doing anything else to that guy. He said, here's my resume. I gave my life for the Lord. I laid down my life for the Lord. And you know, Jesus is really not asking you to lay down your life for him right now, but he's just wanting you to live for him. Maybe that'd come later, but we don't have to go, where will I be willing to die for Jesus Christ? Won't you? We just need to try living for him. He says, in death's off, what a resume. He's not finished. Man, we keep reading this 25. You'd think all those 195 stripes would have been enough, but look at verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Can you imagine somebody taking a rod and just beating the daylights out of you? He said that happened to me 3 times. Can you imagine sitting around a water cooler telling your story about what you suffered for Jesus? And Paul said, yeah, they did that to me 3 times. Church, we've got it so bad. Our life is so difficult. It's so hard. And tomorrow they may grab you and take rods and beat the daylights out of you because you love Jesus and you came to church today. Really? No. You know what we ought to do? We ought to raise our hands and say, Lord, bless the name of the Lord. Thank you for being so good. You've spoiled me, rotten God. It doesn't cost me anything to go to church. It doesn't cost me anything to pray. I mean, Daniel's going to be thrown in the lion's den just for praying. How about that? But Lord, it doesn't cost me anything to pray, and I don't pray. It doesn't cost me anything to tell people about Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to be, we've had a few doors got knocked on already that people didn't appreciate it, but nobody's going to just beat you to death. Lord, you've made our life good. Thank you. Thank you for making it easy for us to worship. Thank you for making it easy for us to serve you. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. I only read about one in Acts 28. I don't know what happened the other 2 times. A night and a day I have been in the deep. You know what? Can you imagine being in the Mediterranean Sea for 24 hours? Ever seen some of these stories, these people lost at sea, you know? Brother Gibson just told me tonight there's a Marine. He was the last Marine that was on. Tell him what it was, Brother Gibson.
He was the last Marine that was on the USS Indianapolis.
He was, and he just died today. He was up at Brother Ron Rouse not long ago. They had him up there. He's a saved man, loved the Lord. Brother Mike went to his home, talked with him. And that dear brother, that whole ship went down, all those men lost in sea. How many days was he in the sea? Do you remember?
4 days.
4 days in the sea, in the ocean. You know what he said? He said he heard the cries. The sharks would come up and grab one of them and take one of them down and eat them. He watched all that. All the horrors. I can't imagine floating in the sea for 24 hours. Paul says, a night and a day I've been in the deep. He talks about those perils of waters, verse 26, and in perils in the sea in verse 26. I'd say that'd been a pretty rough thing. You see, you don't read about all that, do you? All that, like Brother Mullen said, that touched my heart this morning. Brother Mullen said, I didn't tell you about all the churches they chopped down, threw over the side of the hill. Didn't tell all the bad stories. He said, a night and a day I've been in the deep. Verse 26, and journeyings often. Here he is, the superiority of how he hazarded his life. He put himself in danger. As he said in Acts chapter 15, verse 26, these men have hazarded their lives for Jesus. Put his life on the line. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers. That means he got mugged. Well, I thought living for Jesus, all this happiness. Paul said, yeah, I tell you what happened to me. They mugged me. They stole everything I had. I got robbed. Well, I remember when I got robbed in Romania, I got so mad. I hate being robbed. You feel violated. And then I found out I was one of the people I led to Jesus. Boy, he needed to get saved again. Amen. He stole everything. I hate being robbed. Makes me mad. God put that old boy in the hospital. They thought he had brain cancer and all this stuff. That old boy's laid in the hospital. I went and visited him. I had to ask God to forgive me because I went in there and I said, see, look what you're doing. You're messing with, you're stealing all this stuff from me. God put you in the hospital. I didn't say that, but I wanted to say that. I don't like people robbing me. I never forget, man, up there in that gypsy village, we was preaching up there, and I told those Hungarians, y'all are such racists, y'all hate the gypsies, and y'all need to get right with God and get saved. God saves everybody. And that guy, that Hungarian, looked at me and said, yeah, you don't know what it's like to come home and everything in your house is gone. Literally. They were gone all day long and came back, and the whole house was cleaned out. Wall to wall. How'd that make you feel? I tell you what, probably wouldn't make you feel like going and witnessing. Tell us about it, Paul. Yeah, they robbed me. So what? I put that on my resume. I got robbed for Jesus. I tell you what, when you don't have much, it probably is not such a big deal if you get robbed. How's your resume stacking up tonight? Mine's not looking too good. My resume. Bachelor of Arts. Master of Arts. It don't read real true. Y'all with me? Saved 25 years. Been preaching for 30 years. Pastored 2 churches. Been a missionary. Looks pretty peaked compared to that. He said, in perils of robbers, in peril. He put himself in danger. Who says the ministry is not dangerous? Who says that we're not going to put ourselves in danger to do right? In perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen. It's hard when your own people hate you and mistreat you. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. I can imagine what some of that was. But then in perils in the wilderness. You know, there's dangers in the city, but then there's dangers of being out in the wilderness. He said, I was in danger both places. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Verse 27, now he gives the superiority of his physical deprivations. Look at it with me, guys, and we'll finish. Look, verse 27. In weariness and painfulness. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. You in pain? Guys, we don't know what kind of pain we're going. There's emotional pain. There's mental pain. There's all types of pain in life. And I'm telling you what, Jesus is real enough to help you with your pain. Or it wouldn't be in the book. I never forget Brother Gip writing that book on living with pain. I've never read it because I don't really want to read it. I don't want to be in pain. He just had to have surgery again. He just said, I had to come to the place I just had to live. 24 hours a day, had to live with pain. I can't imagine that. But Jesus can be real to you in your pain. You say, well, it's not very real to me. You need to let the Lord be what He is for you in weariness and painfulness. And verse 29, who is weak? And I am not weak. Paul is a great Christian, but he was weak at times, and he was hurting, and he was weary. And not only that, verse 27, in watchings often, he lost sleep. He didn't get rest. Look at 27, in hunger and thirst. In fastings often. Look, that's two different things. It's one thing for you to hunger and thirst. It's another thing for you to fast. When you fast, you voluntarily give up food and drink. But when you're hungry and you're thirsty, you didn't do that voluntarily. You didn't have anything to eat. Paul's saying there were times in my life I didn't have anything to eat. I didn't have anything to drink. How many times I read those stories? I got George Mueller's autobiography in my office. It's one of the things I treasure in my office. I don't think there's too many of them done. And I read Mueller getting down and praying, God, we don't have any food in the house. We can't feed these orphans, can't feed these children. Didn't have any money. And they're hungry. And God would supply it. You know what Paul said? I'll give my testimony. I was hungry and thirsty, and God didn't give me anything to eat. I just stayed hungry and thirsty. What do you think about that, Paul? Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's real, guys. And yeah, I fast often. You know, I tell you what, if we'd fast often when we were hungry and thirsty, we probably would deal with it a little bit better. But guys, we're so used to having it. We not only have our food and drink, we have it like we want it, right? Need to make these kids eat their peas, amen. Eat stuff they don't like. Amen. You know why? You need to quit being so picky about everything. We all need to be quit being so picky about all of our lives. God doesn't have to have my life just like I want it to be. I can be in weariness. I can be in painfulness. I can be in hunger. I can be in thirst. And God will still be good to me and bless me and help me and be real to me. Because Paul gave us the resume. Verse 27, I shouldn't have read too many verses. There's so many there. In verse 27, in cold. I don't like being cold. I don't like being hot either. Are you spoiled like me? If it moves about 2 degrees, I'm miserable. Isn't that right? It's so cold in the house. What is it? The air conditioner kicked on it. It's 71 in the church. I'm freezing. Oh, it's 73 in the church. I'm burning up. Guys, we've got a toleration of about 2 degrees. You ever been so cold that you couldn't even think straight? Man, I've been on deer stands, but I tell you, one of the coldest, when we crossed the, whatever that channel is between England and Ireland, and the boat didn't have any heat. My dad was walking around, where's the captain?
I mean, this is at 1 o'clock in the morning. Where's the captain? What's wrong, sir? I'm cold. It was freezing on that boat. You talk about miserable. You know what we didn't do? You know what Dad didn't do? Dad didn't say, boys, it was me and my brother and my dad. We're making that. It was a missions trip. You know what Dad didn't do? He didn't say, come around here, boys, let's rejoice in the goodness of God. And I got a good dad, but he's cold. You with me? We're spoiled. Every one of us. He said in cold and what else? Honey, you know I've got to have another pair of shoes. I've got to have another dress. I've got to have another suit of clothes. I've got to have some new jeans. I have to have some new tennis shoes. I mean, my clothes are getting old. I mean, they're every bit of 2 years old. I need a new wardrobe. You know what we rarely do? We rarely wear out our clothes.
You're right.
Now, some of us do, but not all of us. No, we want new ones. Paul said, man, it got so rough with me, I didn't have any clothes left. Am I in the Bible? Man, I gotta find me a fig leaf or something. I mean, I'm going naked here. By the way, there's different. You know what? That verse right there shows you there's different degrees of nakedness. Paul's not talking about his birthday suit. Come on now. You think the Apostle Paul's walking around totally naked? No. But he was naked. You know why? Showing your thighs is naked. Amen. That's in the Bible. Showing your body, showing nakedness. Why is it only certain parts? Well, I better get off on that. I'm just saying, I got to finish, but this is a resume to let me know that, look, what's my problem? Why? I'm not telling you this to feel bad. I'm telling you, we're blessed. God's given us a wonderful life. I finish. He says, the only thing I've not addressed is verse 29. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended? Anybody ever hurt you? Anybody ever mistreat you? Anybody ever caused you to be angry with them or became a temptation in your life? He says, who is offended and I burn not? There's a couple of different ways you can take that, but probably taking the most simplest route if he's talking about offense and burning, you know, maybe the anger he's talking about. Anybody really hurt you so bad you couldn't get over it? And you got anger in your heart? Paul says, I know exactly what you're talking about. You've been offended? I've been offended. You know, I'm not saying this is true because I don't know, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. You may get to heaven one day and find out that the Apostle Paul, after he got saved, that his whole family left him. His dad, his mom. Maybe even he had a wife. I'm not saying he did. I don't know. But most people that age and with his position in the Jewish, guys, it cost him so much to leave everything and serve Jesus. And along the way, he got hurt. What'd you do with it, Paul? Well, I burned in that anger. I burned in that hurt. And then I just had to take it to Jesus and add it to my resume and say, Lord, I'll just take it for you. Because I want to be a real Christian. You a real Christian?